You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
On this episode, we talk about things. It's 2021. No rules. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
It is Apathetic Enthusiasm with your hosts, Brandon and Travis, where we bring you up-to-date information about our lives. Today we want to start off with Travis. Travis, why don't you tell us what you've been up to in the past 2 to 3 weeks, including Christmas and New Year's.
Brandon, there's no way I'm going to take you seriously for the entirety of this podcast while you are wearing the mask from a Twilight Zone episode that I don't know the name of.
It's okay. I'm just going to say no change. No change.
No change. No change.
The episode is called it was like a secret world of beauty or something like that. But Eye of the Beholder.
Eye of the Beholder.
Yeah, the classic. Yes. Classic.
It's probably the first like Twilight Zone reference I ever got, but I think it was due to an SNL sketch and not.
Oh yeah.
And not the show itself. Oh, yeah, anyway, welcome everybody to Apathetic Enthusiasm. I am Travis. He is Brandon. It's 2021. We are already late in bringing you a new podcast. We missed Monday. I've had a crazy week, but we couldn't let the week go by. So we are streaming live on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm on Friday night. Bring you a brand new podcast.
Brand new podcast. We don't record on Friday nights, and I don't know why. I think we have never really subscribed to the Friday night podcasting because we want to do it at the beginning of the week or like over the weekend is how it started, and then release it at the beginning of the week so we can have some consistent. So people driving to and from work, they can be like, oh, you know what? Oh, there's a new episode. Oh, I can listen to this as I'm driving. But if you record it on Friday, then it's Saturday and then there's Sunday. Then, you know, all this really hard hitting up to date, like, ooh, we just saw Batman versus Superman in a theater tonight and we need to talk about it right now. And you need to hear about it now. Some of that's lost. It's lost in the sauce.
We were always so eager to be, you know, first in with the hot takes about that latest movie that came out this weekend or that show that premiered or whatever. So we were always trying to be the first to do it. And then once we started doing Rick and Morty, it was like, all right, comes out on Sunday night. Give us a day to watch it. We got to release episodes by Tuesday. Tuesday already feels late sometimes. But this isn't intermental RSS. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm.
That's right.
Where we just talk about things that we like. We don't have a hard set of topics tonight. I have a loose collection of things that we discussed throughout the week. over Messenger. But if you want to discuss stuff with us throughout the week and maybe provide us with topics that you think we should discuss on a future episode, you can follow us on Twitter. Yes, we are still allowed on Twitter at Apothusiast. You can follow me at Juggle Mino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. Facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. And then on the web, apatheticenthusiasm.com is where you can find all of our podcasts and different things like that. If you want to catch a video version of this podcast, maybe you weren't able to stream it live on Twitch, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm as well, where we post video versions of the show. You can subscribe there. Finally, patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can support the show directly, throw a few coins in the old tip jar, get exclusive content like pre-shows and... I don't know, exclusive patron podcast. It's on Random, which a new one will be cropping up sooner or later.
Eventually.
All of that available at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Okay. Formalities out of the way. What do you want to talk about?
Let us begin our bi-monthly
fortnightly discussion.
Let's talk about Elvira. Let's talk about Cassandra Peterson, the great Elvira. She was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. She was one of the biker folks, because she was in the Groundlings along with Paul Reubens, who, as we know, is Pee-wee Herman. That's where he developed a character, and that's where she developed a character of Elvira, and they both went on to do great things.
It's also very interesting that both of them pretty much became known as those characters. Like, they're more widely known as those characters than as, like, the actors that portray them.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting. Good point. I think they were both in Pee-wee Herman. One of the early appearances of his character is in Cheech and Chong movies as a hamburger. You want hamburger? anyway, but this isn't Elvira. I have a sticker on my laptop of Elvira, and really, like, my randomness tonight is just looking around the room and seeing what else we could talk about. Like, the Rogue One, I just saw the poster.
I do have a few topics that you just...
This was a segue.
Shotgunned at me.
I was trying to segue.
It's not a segue? Were you trying to segue?
I was going to segue, yeah. Dude, here's my segue.
Segue starts...
Now. Okay, I mentioned the Elvira sticker because my laptop is on its side right now. My MacBook is on its side. It is on its side. It's actually vertical now on a stand. And how I had my laptop before was I just had my laptop in front of me, the 15-inch screen, and then above it I had an old TV, like a 33-inch TV that I would HDMI to it. And then, like, okay, looking at that screen. And I came to some weird realization. Why don't I just plug my MacBook and into a docking station and then buy an actual monitor? And so now my desktop, which used to be so damn cluttery, is now super. Well, it's still cluttery, but it's much, much better, and it's in a much better setup. But the reason I came to this realization was because Christmas happened. And so I want to talk about Christmas a little bit with you, Travis.
Okay.
Not just about what we got, but what we didn't get.
The birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We got that. Okay. We got that. Yeah.
We got that.
Yeah. we got that. I was talking to a friend at work, and it's about becoming an adult, and when you get a job and you're making money, that you're like, I don't need people to buy anything for me because, or not that I don't need people to buy anything for me. I don't need people to buy the expensive things for me because
it's true.
Because I will research what I want. Right.
So, okay, let's rewind a little bit on this because I have always been a research what I want type of person. To the extent that as like a kid and a teenager, I had a very detailed Christmas list because I didn't tell my parents I want a video camera because I'm a budding filmmaker. I was like, I want this brand of Canon video camera that utilizes, you know, this format and has this zoom and all this stuff. I want this camera. I don't care if I don't want anything else. I want this thing. And then when that one thing would show up under the tree, I'd be like ecstatic. I'm like, and over the years, this has continued. And my wife is like a little bit like, well, doesn't that ruin like the surprise of Christmas? Or like, cause like, you know exactly what you're getting. But for me, it's like, yay, you got exactly what I want. Now I can have the thing that I want instead of, hey, you got something that's like the thing that I want, but I already did so much research in deciding which one I wanted that you have been unsuccessful in getting the thing that I want.
I'm different from that because my tastes used to be simpler. It was. I want a Nintendo and I want a Nintendo or I want a Super Nintendo or I want a Genesis or I want a TurboGrafx 16. It ended up being like that, right? Like it wasn't I want a computer or I want a fancy camera. I want a bass guitar. Give me a bass guitar. I don't care. Give me a guitar. Sure. Like, and then when I started wanting to do more stuff with computers or when I got my first job, then I was like, well, I'll have the money and then do the things I want to get the things that I want to get. And then, you know, keep surprising me with whatever, you know, surprise me with stuff. And then over the years, yeah, it's been like, give me things that I didn't know I wanted, because the things I know I want, I'm a bad reaction.
Do you think that makes you harder to shop for?
Yes, absolutely. Of course it makes me harder. Okay. But it also makes me hard to shop for because people in my family know I want some things. They might know I want a monitor, for example. But
yeah,
you know, I don't want to like go out to my Amazon wish list and be like, I want this LG monitor with USB-C, this resolution, et cetera, because I'm like, I mean, I can
afford exactly what I did to get the monitor that I'm looking at right now.
We're different. We're different people.
We're different people. We're different.
We're different people.
But, and I will say, so you talk about growing up, making money, and being able to buy the things that you specifically want, like whenever you want them. The transition of me being a poor kid with no money to being like a poor teenager with some money to being an employed adult with relatively decent amounts of money. Like that transition, especially as a teenager and as a young adult, I had such a scarcity mindset in terms of like, I had to work like three jobs growing up in Southern California to try and like eat and have a vehicle and have a place to live and maybe take a college class if I could afford it. So I was always like, okay, don't buy myself nice things. Don't like really be frugal, I guess, with my money. That it doesn't, I'm not saying I'm very financially wise. That's not the case. It just created this mindset where I was like, I'm not going to buy myself really nice things. And if I do, I tend to spend a very long time thinking about it before I will pull the trigger to buy something that I want. I have continued to grow in my success and promotions and things like that. I make more money than I did when I first got married, but I also have a wife and three kids whom I love, and I want to shower with gifts and the things that they want to have. So they have things, they get things, right? And I often like don't buy myself things because I want them to have nice things, right? My wife knows this about me. So she crushes it on Christmas all the time, because what I end up doing is I still do the research. I still like stew about the things that I want for months and years, potentially at times. But those things often just sit in an Amazon wish list, and I just put them there. The wish list is literally called Gifts for Travis. Wink, wink is what the wish list is called. And I try to vary the price from like really cheap things like Rick and Morty trade paperbacks are in there,
yeah,
to like very expensive things. Never expecting to get them. It really for me is like, if I'm ever really going to treat myself, like what is the thing that I'm going to get, right? But then Christmas rolls around and Sheena like knocks it out of the park getting... Not only does she get me really nice things, but she like mentally messes me up by making me think that there's like no way she's getting me that thing leading up to it. She doesn't talk about it. She doesn't ask about it. She is a gift giving ninja. So I am incredibly spoiled on Christmas, but I'm incredibly spoiled with money that I've brought into the household a lot of the time. So it's just, it's this weird, cool thing where... I have a really extravagant way of buying myself things via my generous wife. So yeah.
Yeah. I am opposite of the scarcity, not opposite of the scarcity mindset. I lived with my parents till I was 18 and a half. Worked at a supermarket from 16 to that point in time, before I switched careers. But I was like, money, woo. And as a kid growing up, every time I get money, for birthday or Christmas or whatever, that my mom would make me put it in a savings account and I'd never see that money. But we may have talked about this before, but they never explained to me really in a way that stuck why I'm saving this money and why I should save this money. Why do I have money if I'm not allowed to spend it? Because when you're a kid, you're not in debt. You're not trying to pay for bills.
You're not worried about retirement.
There's no reason as a kid not to spend money because you get it and then cool, now let's get rid of it.
Money is for me getting the things that I want. Right. And I want things.
So when I switched careers, I started making money, and then I'm like, it ended credit cards too. Like, woo, credit cards is a thing. My parents warn me about credit cards, but I'm like, I don't understand why I shouldn't get this now and then pay it off over time. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, spreads it out.
And
what do you mean interest? What?
Like, yeah, let me buy a 3D, not 3DS. It wasn't a three. It was a Game Boy Advance. Like the first thing I bought, I didn't have a TV yet in the dorms, but I had a Game Boy Advance, and then bought a computer, bought a TV. I'm like, oh crap, let's buy a 2004 Chevy S10. Not fully understanding what the payments are like. And then that shit burnt down accidentally. And it was like, woo, thank God. I don't know how I was going to eat every day.
I was going to have to start eating my Chevy S10.
Chevy S10. It was cooked, so I wouldn't have gotten salmonella from it.
There you go.
And but over time, then I started getting into like, okay, I understand now that I have to pay off bills and I have to be able to, you know, if I'm going on a road trip, then I have to have so much money to go on this road trip. Otherwise, you're going to end up in Oklahoma City with a bad alternator in the middle of the night. like turning off the lights, letting them recharge briefly, and then turning them back on so you get about 10 seconds of light at 2 in the morning. And using the semi truck that's in front of you, its brake lights to guide you where you need to go. Because you don't have any money.
Hypothetically.
hypothetically. Adventures. So yeah. Now I'm like that, where I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to put things in a wish list, then I'm going to spend a lot of time researching what I want. And yes, because I did that, then I'm like, well, then I'll get it, because I already spent the time, and I'll do that for me. I don't want to wait now for somebody else to maybe get that for me, because I already know what I want.
Yeah. And I will say, there are so many times where I'm like, man, I really think I want this thing. And if I like mention it like 3 times, Sheena's just like, just buy it. We have the money. You want it. Buy it. You never buy yourself things. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And sometimes I do buy them, but yeah, a lot of times I don't.
As an example of things, I will get into an Amazon viewing stagnation, where I'll look at something that I really want and then spend so long to actually buy it, and then eventually say, no, I guess I don't need this. One of those things is a couple of months ago was the Stream Deck. The thing where you press a button, you got some buttons and you could switch scenes. And I looked at it, it was like $150. And I said, I want to get this. And I had a green screen. I'm like, I want to get this. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. And I never got it. But great news. One of my best friends, Travis Menard, has had some news for me on Christmas.
Okay, let's talk about the Stream Deck for a minute, because I had the Stream Deck in my Amazon wish list for over a year, and I think I removed it twice from the wish list, where I did that, like, do I want it? I don't think the utility is there that I really need the Stream Deck. And it's just, I have the Stream Deck Mini. I got the Stream Deck Mini, 6 buttons. That's what I got for Christmas. It is what we are utilizing now for this stream. And for those of you that don't know what a Stream Deck is, it is basically a programmable macro keyboard, right? So it has an LCD screen with clear buttons, so that you can program the buttons to look differently. They can do different things. And so I can now use the Stream Deck for us to change scenes. If, you know, while we're streaming, I hit a button, boom, we're doing something else. If we were playing a game, if we were playing chess, it would be over here, but I don't have that queued up. and I can do other stuff with it. I can adjust our audio. I have macros set up to where I can open up different applications. I can set up like multi-step processes. So there are like 6 different applications and websites that I have open. Any time that we go to stream, I can now hit one button and it will open all of those things. And then I hit a second button and it arranges all of those things to the correct position on the right screen. It's beautiful. And so I am having fun messing with this. We spent an evening like last week or something, just like hanging out and me messing with stuff. And then you like feeding me suggestions and trying to figure out different ways to automate stuff. It's one of those things that I could easily continue streaming without it, but the potential and the utility for having it, I feel like is really going to pay off. So even though I was like really on that edge of like, I don't need a Stream Deck, I'm just going to remove it from my Amazon wish list again. And then I think it was my mother-in-law that bought it for me. And she's like, yeah, that seems like a cool thing. Because that's the other thing, is nobody ever knows what the things are on my wish list. They're just like, Rick and Morty art book. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, get them.
get him that or whatever. if it makes him happy, sure. It's cool. I really like it, and I'm already like thinking, do I trade up? Do I try to get the 15 button one?
Yeah.
Like the regular Stream Deck, because there's just so many cool things you can do with it.
Yeah, that you told me about that, and because I'm that type of person, I'm like, oh yeah, I want one too now. so then I went looking for it, and I'm back to that mode of
I'll say this, because if you're not a streamer, you're probably like, why would I ever need a Stream Deck? But like, we have all become masters of Zoom, right? Like 2020 has made everybody some form of like video teleconference, you know, familiarity. And I can program a whole set of buttons just to operate Zoom, so that I have a physical button for muting myself or turning off my video. I can have a button for leaving a meeting, a button for recording, another one for just bringing it to focus, like making it the topmost window so that if I'm doing other things, I can bring it up. There's a screen sharing button, like stuff like that. So you can, there are so many plugins and things for it too, where you can really, I have a whole page on it because you can build folders on it. You're not limited to just six buttons. You can create a folder as a button that will then, you know, tree down into an infinite number of possibilities of buttons. So I have almost like a whole bookmarks bar where I can open up different websites at a push of a button and stuff. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet. It is pretty sweet. Back, what is it? March. I did Podfest. I did that speech for Podfest, and I did what I did was I went into the streaming software of OBS. I made custom overlays to where, you know, I put myself in different scenes, like in the background, and you know, in with things in the foreground, and then be things in the background, and it, have it be more of a dynamic kind of presentation over Zoom. And I did it all in OBS. And what I did was, like, to switch a scene, I'd press the one. Okay, the first scene, press one. Then I do my speech. Okay, next scene, I press two, press three, and so on and so forth. And after I saw the Stream Deck thing, I found this other like thing called Touch Portal, which interacts with it. It's very similar to Stream Deck. I was like, oh crap, I could have just pressed a button here and it would have done everything I needed it to do. And it's not like single tasks either. Travis mentioned, like, you know, moving all the things around. Like, you press one button, it moves everything around, it opens up all these screens, and it might also open up OBS to a specific scene with the mic muted in that scene. And then he presses a button, maybe it moves all the windows around again, and then unmutes that scene, but also starts a video playing and it has the power to do a whole slew of automation. And then, you know, also, like, if he presses that button, say, like, this button is like, he programs it to say, oh, Twitch, go live. That's the name of the button. It opens all these windows, opens up Twitch, starts the stream immediately, but then it might be tied into Twitter and Facebook with an automated message saying, blah, 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 streaming now. There's so much power in the automation. I just love it. And so I'm jealous of that.
I'm glad I could be a source of jealousy for you. Honestly, as we were doing this episode, I'm looking at my different scene buttons and realizing that certain scenes we should be muted for. If we're doing like the take a break one, we should be muted. So I'm already like in my head thinking like, oh, I need to edit that button so that when I press it, it also mutes these mics and, you know, puts it. So
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. When I was setting up for Touch Portal, just screwing around on my side, I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Well, this is my countdown screen. I press it, it automatically mutes all the inputs to it with the exception of song playing. And I'm like, okay, now I press the next button. It's like, the movie screen is in this, and then a smaller version of me automatically unmutes, right? And then press the button again, it mutes. If I'm like to the be right back screen.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I need to also, I have like less than 24 hours to program macros for when we play D&D.
Yeah.
Cause I'm totally going to set up dice rolls on it so that when I have to roll certain attacks or whatever, I can just hit a button. I wonder if I could program my wizard spells to a set of buttons. That seems like it should be possible.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to. Really, what you do, I'm sure in Stream Deck, you can record mouse clicks, right? For Windows,
I think so. Yeah.
So if we have Foundry VTT up, then you record the mouse clicks to get to whatever spell you want to use, and then that becomes the button that you want to for example, or just whatever the actual macro for that spell is.
Yeah, I think I can actually program the like a web source. If that macro has like some sort of link, I might be able to do that. Cool. We can buy followers now.
Hey, thanks Zune Wells 919-7465. Please do not. Especially since it's bigfollowsspace.com. You know, you can't have that space. It messes up the link, you know?
Yeah, it's no good. all right. Any other notable gifts that you received this Christmas?
So I did that Elvira sticker I got from Chelsea. I got some socks from her as well. They are from Halloween 3, Seasons of the Witch, the Silver Shamrock. You got to see it to know what I'm actually talking about. Got a big sheet, but it's like a tapestry of classic records, classic albums. We were just talking about records a couple weeks ago. But it's, you know, classic records like Pet Sounds and Abbey Road. There are images of the records on the side of them. It's a big ass tapestry. So whenever we get to our next house, we'll put that up. That's really cool. My mom got me a Vans shirt, which was awesome. But she also got me and my son these mini drones. And these mini drones are there's a ball, right? And the ball has a sensor on the bottom, and on top there are two spinning blades, and they're not in anything. They're not enclosed in anything. They're just these two spinning blades. And the way this works is you turn it on, and then it starts and then flies up. You put your hand under it, and then it wants to fly up again. And so it's kind of like, but in order to get it to stop, it has to go in your hand. So essentially what happens is like the ball's coming down and you go up to grab it and it goes like, oh God. But they're open spinning blades, plastic blades. So you have to judge it so you don't slash your wrist.
You gotta like snatch it out of the air.
Yes. It's very, 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 very perilous. This is, my son is 9. It says ages like 7 and up. And like, there's no way I would let a 7-year-old, let alone my 9-year-old, mess with it. Because it'll probably kill him. It'll probably kill him.
Yeah. But anyway, death, blood everywhere. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Other notable gifts for me, I got the trade paperback for Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons Volume 2. So I'm excited to read through that. My loving mother, who is in full support of my streaming habits, got me a green screen that it's a pop-up green screen.
Well, it looks great.
Well, yeah, this, I mean, it looks real. Hold on a second.
Okay. while Travis is telling me to hold on a second, what he's doing and describing it to the podcast users, he's lifting up his green screen.
It's a green screen. It's behind me. It's not centered. I'd have to move my camera a little bit, but I have a green screen now that like just stays up. So I'm going to buy some better lights so that it works in more situations, but I could be on the beach with Brandon now if I want to be.
I can recommend some good lights for you.
And then it just goes. I love that it just stays at whatever height you put it at.
Yeah. But, that's right. That was another one of those purchases before I got this green screen where I was like, I think that's something I want. And I back and forth. And it was before the Podfest thing. So I'm like, I'll just get this one. It's probably good enough. This one is good, but it's cropped up. If I move back just barely, you see the shadow already. It's not as good as it's not as big as I want it to be. You need like the photography studio green screen where it like covers everything and covers angles.
Yeah. Oh, I was my turn to talk just as I was about to burp. You're welcome, everybody. Those were some pretty outstanding gifts.
In the field.
I got some new headphones. I got matching cans, matching headphones. I'm back on the Sony Studio headphones again. My last pair I wore out. So now we have the matching headphones, matching mics, matching headphones. We're regular professionals here, guys. and lots of other cool stuff. Appreciate our families for, you know, loving us and buying us cool things. If you got any really awesome gifts that you'd like to share or recommend, hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah.
Send us an email. Send us a tweet. Let us know the cool things that you guys got. All right, Brandon. Moving on.
I just rolled my eyes. Have a good day. Face is in. He says you should come to my studio where the entire huge wall is a green wakreen.
Green wakreen.
Green wakreen. Steve wakreen.
Thanks.
Matt is a newscaster, so if they don't have basically nothing is real in the studio. The only thing real in the studio is maybe the desk they stand in front of, if that.
Maybe.
I want to ask you something about the difference between Christmas and New Year's as far as your emotion, I guess. I'll say your emotion.
Okay. Emotion for Christmas and New Year's?
Yeah, yeah. Which holiday is more emotionally powerful to you, I guess? Or like which holiday gives you like uplifts your spirit more?
Christmas.
Okay.
100% Christmas.
100%.
And mostly it's like because I'm a dad and I'm like a sap, like my kids and like the joy that they have on Christmas and the things that they get excited about and just like a lot of the traditions that just my immediate family has created, like we eat cinnamon rolls like every Christmas morning. It's expected now. Like my kids look forward to it. They're homemade cinnamon rolls. We have those like while we're opening presents, and then we have chorizo for like a brunch, right? And that's like a tradition. Both my wife and I grew up having that in our own homes, and then that's something her dad always made on Christmas, and that's something that we just do with our family. And then we just like hang out and, you know, the house is destroyed because there's like trash and presents everywhere. And my son is like opening one toy and playing with it for like 5 minutes and then just leaving it right there and going and opening a Lego set and building like the first three steps and then going and doing something else. But I don't know. It's just fun to just kind of relax. And, you know, sometimes I'll watch some basketball. Sometimes this year we watched two different movies because streaming was the way to go this year. And then for me, like I've never been a huge party guy in terms of like getting trashed and going out with like a lot of people. So New Year's, while I really enjoy New Year's in like a small intimate setting, it's just, I don't know, the emotions for me don't run as high with New Year's.
Okay. So
for me, for New Year's, for me, it's more just about like time to celebrate the year that was, the opportunities ahead, and, you know, drink some champagne that I'm not crazy about.
just drink, you know, brute. And you're like, oh, why? I don't, well, is extra dry sweeter? I don't even know. Yeah. The reason I ask is this year I think I came to the realization, the understanding of myself that I like New Year's, not that I like New Year's better, but I think New Year's somehow sticks out to me as a more emotionally weighted holiday for me. And I think it's because, you know, Christmas is one thing where when I left home and I was by myself, I could call Christmas and I'm like, we call home for Christmas to talk to my grandparents, my parents, my aunts and uncles, and they'd be doing their things, but people would be opening presents, and it's very, very, very family oriented. And then it gets to New Year's, and I would call my family again, and or I'd be with friends, and I'd be with people, and I'd be hanging out with people, and I would call Matt, and who is in the chat, and I'd be like, just drunk, and we're like, hey, he'd be doing something out in Los Angeles at the time, just going crazy, and it'd be such a happy thing. And then the Twilight Zone marathon would be in the background of wherever I was, and it was just always like, as an introvert, it was always the time where I'm like, I'm happy to be around and know people, and it's exciting to be around people. This year I watched the Twilight Zone marathon on both on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. My son, my 9-year-old, watched a lot of it with me, and he doesn't like black and white stuff, but he still watched a lot of it with me, which was, I thought he would go away, but he wouldn't. He would come in and hang out with me.
Keep watching it.
Yeah. We played chess, and I used to play games with my dad and my brothers on New Year's Eve, and like that was a thing. We played this game that we got for Christmas. It's the Haunted Mansion board game, which is pretty fun. And then Chelsea and I, we put a sheet on the ceiling. We blew up a bunch of balloons, and then when it got down to midnight, then we released the balloons into our living room. I spent like $100 at the fireworks place, and leading up to midnight, every hour we would like light fireworks off, which we won't be able to do in California when I go there. But whereas Christmas is relaxing and it's you're with your family, like New Year's is a celebration, and I kind of got to the point where I'm like, oh, I feel something. I like New Year's better.
yeah. I don't know if it's because it's so dang cold where I'm at, but like it's legal in Nebraska to do fireworks on New Year's, but people blow their whole wad on 4th of July, and then it's like, you know, 20 degrees or whatever. It snowed a lot this year. So it was just like, yeah, I don't want to go outside. I want to be inside where it's warm, and we'll play Unstable Unicorns. Yeah. And it just, you know, it was also, you know, we'll watch countdowns or whatever, and then, you know, hang out, eat lots of snacks, eat way too many jalapeno poppers.
Yeah. It's so delicious. I have some hot wings in the fridge. I'll probably eat at midnight tonight. I spent $100 on fireworks. Let me just side note, in the clerk at the counter said, we haven't really gotten all the good ones. We usually get the good ones from the Chinese. But you know, it's so hard to get them from the Chinese right now. Which because of the pandemic, which, you know, it's their fault anyway. So I don't even know. So I was like, yeah, cool, bro. Just give me my 2-for-1 that I'm doing. But yeah, $100, and I didn't get any good ones really. I got like some crappy mortar ones and a bunch of bottle rockets. And there were out here in Florida, there were just nonstop fireworks, nonstop for a couple of days. And I just like, how many thousands, easily hundreds of thousands of dollars of fireworks that are just going on around the state of Florida constantly. It's just, it boggles my mind just how much money people put into this type of stuff.
Yeah. Fourth of July in Nebraska was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. Growing up in California, you couldn't do your own fireworks. It had to be, you know, officially sanctioned fireworks displays. And then even some of the other places I've lived, either the city itself didn't allow fireworks, like where you could shoot your own fireworks, or, you know, like Hawaii, you couldn't do it yourself in most places. So when I moved here, I was shocked that on the 4th of July, people just turned their driveways into KGB Sky Show from 101.5 KGB San Diego. That's a big fireworks display down there. This last year, and I think the pandemic had something to do with it because everybody was like cooped up at home anyway. They're like, the heck with it. I'm blowing $1,000 on fireworks and we are lighting this neighborhood up. It was like a war zone in my neighborhood. Fireworks going off like crazy. I know for a fact that people that live across from me, their family spent about $1,000 on fireworks. I think they had a couple people bring fireworks and it was like about $1,500 worth of fireworks. It was insane. Like the types, and there's a company in Nebraska that like makes fireworks. So they have all kinds of like, they all have boxes. That's just like a huge box where you light one fuse and it does like a multi-stage show.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Just out of a box. And, that stuff is crazy. That is something I think I will miss. I never fully appreciated, I think, 4th of July the way I did watching people just risk their fingers and eyes to blow stuff up in their driveways and neighborhoods. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But
yeah.
Anyway. Holidays. Holidays are fun.
Holidays are fun.
Holidays are over. I mean, we got Martin Luther King Day coming up. Let's do it up. Let's celebrate.
Yeah. I did get the family Walt Disney World four-day passes. I've been here in Tampa for 3 years now, and I have not been to Walt Disney World once.
Yeah, this you will, can see the beaches of Tampa behind Brandon right now on the live stream. So.
we are moving from Tampa here in a couple months. And so I don't really want to go into that many folks to go to Disney, but
yeah,
like it's also something I have to experience while I'm here because the family and I don't plan on coming back to Florida after we leave. So we bought tickets and we're gonna make that trip. So I just want to throw that out there as something we got ourselves for.
I cannot wait to talk to you about the trip. Talk to you while you're on the trip. Talk to you after, before. I don't know. I'm excited. My family is dying for another Disney vacation. Dying. We'll be fine without one. But my plan was to do Disneyland in California in 2021. Who knows? Maybe the park will be reopened sometime this year. But currently that is not a guarantee. So we'll see. That trip will probably be delayed a little bit longer. So
yeah. In other news, I did finally buy Cyberpunk 2077.
Cyberpunk. Yeah, you have not yet purchased your Xbox Series X, not for lack of trying.
Not for lack of trying. No, that's true.
So you purchased Cyberpunk for your Xbox One. How's it going?
It for me, it's only crashed once.
Okay.
of an hour's worth of playtime. No, it's only crashed once, and it was after a couple hours, and I was prepared for it to crash, so I save a lot just preemptively. I'm not too far into the story. I haven't met Keanu yet. That shows you how far into the story I am.
Okay.
AKA,
yeah, I feel like you haven't started the game yet then.
Basically, what happened when I went in, I picked my character, I did like the initial stuff, I'm a corpo. That's what I picked.
Okay.
And
I think I went corpo too.
Okay. Yeah. And Matt went corpo. I was just talking to
three corpos. No, let's go.
Nobody wants to start off as a side note about humble beginnings in games where you could pick like your background. Usually, normally I start off with a character of humble beginnings, but for some reason this game, I'm like, no, I don't want to start off with humble beginnings. Like, this is a cyber world where corporations own cities and spy on each other and do all this stuff.
Yeah. I don't want to be out in the fringe areas of the city, like living in trailers.
I don't
want to be in the middle of the cyberpunk action.
I don't want to be, in Borderlands. I want to be in the Shadowrun piece of the world where the cool shit is happening.
Right.
So I wanted to be in the know. And so I picked corpo. Okay.
When I first asked you, you're like, I went with like the rich faction or whatever, which is not corpos. They're like somebody else. Like, cause there's corpos that like work for corporations. And then there's like the really like the elites of the city that like are like the ultra wealthy or whatever. I thought that's the faction that you went with.
What are the three factions? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I got it wrong.
Who am I to play God? factions in Cyberpunk 2077. That's more things. There's all the mega corporations.
Oh God. Yeah. Don't get to the tabletop role playing.
Jeez.
Or site for it. Matt might know. I thought there's only three. One is like on like the outskirts. One is like the people inside the city, but not in the corporations. And then there was the elite folks, Corpo, Nomad, and Sherman Hemsley.
Corporate, Nomad, and Street Kid. Yeah. So I guess is corporate the? I guess that is the.
Mm-hmm. Because you, with the corporate, you start off like throwing up in a sink in a skyscraper.
Yeah, that does happen.
And then you get all your shit removed, right? So you do start at the top, but then.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So I guess, yeah. Yeah. I guess I just remembered it differently. But yeah, because I definitely picked corpo as well.
The corpo corpse. That's what we are. Corpo core. Corpse, stupid.
The weird thing is I've been playing so much that I've got like ins with all of these different groups now, and I could basically pick which one I want to end up with. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I'm not there yet. Obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm not that far because one, I'm like exploring everything because I don't want to get too deep into anything because I don't want it to crash on me. And doing like some side quests that like are just like pop, like just to see what it's about.
I would encourage you to at least get the point where you've met Keanu Reeves and gotten to know him. And then I kind of was on rails through to that point. And then I started like doing a bunch of side quests because I was like, I don't want to get too deep into the game and then not be able to do side quests. And so I like did tons of side quests and then realized, like, I don't think I'm very far in the actual game, like, at all. And I still don't know that I'm that far in the game. I think I might be further in the game. Matt in the chat talking about Panem with three hearts, which, if you are a cis male version of V, then that is your only love interest in the game, apparently. I've continued to do missions with her. Here's what I will say about that I've learned about Cyberpunk. They put very adult scenes in the game and do not give you warning that they're happening. Like, you're like, hey, I'm gonna go, you know, on this mission real quick, and then all of a sudden your character is having sex. Like, first person sex scene. And I'm like, this went in a completely different direction than I thought this mission was going to be about. All right. Okay. Matt knows what I'm talking about. But yeah, there's a sequence with Panem that, I was like, oh, cool, I'm driving a tank. And then I was like, wow. This went in a completely different direction.
All right, good. Yeah, I'll watch out for when my kid's in the room watching me play.
Whoa. Yeah, this is not a game I play around my children.
Yeah. One of the side quests the first side quest I did in the main city was just, you know, the yellow exclamation point. I picked up this guy and he's like, God, help me. And I get out of my car and I walk up to him. He's like, I need to be taken to a ripper or whatever those doctors are called.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, and he's like holding his dick. And he's like, and I'm like, what's the problem? He's like, it's malfunctioning. My cyber dick basically is malfunctioning. And so he's like, I need to get to a doctor. And so I drive him to the doctor and I'm berating him as I'm driving him. My character is berating him while I was driving him. I'm like, why do you need a cyber dick, dude? And he's just, I get him to the doctor. And then I have to wait for him to get fixed up. And after he gets fixed up, again, V, the main character, is just like, look, you learned your lesson. Did you at least make sure it's not defective this time before you go out fucking something, right? And I'm like, this is the first thing I'm doing.
This is my first mission.
This is my first mission. And what's interesting about it is I talked to Matt about that this morning on the, and he's like, I've done so many side quests and I've never done that one.
Nope. I have not seen that.
So it's crazy that even though we are all corpo, we're part of the corpo core, that we have different experiences playing. So despite graphics and bugs and all that type of stuff, it is a good game, even in a couple hours that I've played it.
Yeah, I really want you to get further in the main storyline so we can talk about that. I am in a weird sort of decision point. I haven't played the game in almost a week, but I feel like I need to lean in to the main storyline. I've done like two major portions of the main storyline in the last couple sessions that I've played. And I'm like, do I need to just like play through and like beat the game with this version of V and then re-roll a new character and play it again with like different choices and see what like the replay value is and stuff like that, because there is so much in the game that I could probably play it again with a different type of character and get a lot of different interactions, unlock potentially a different ending, and still have a very robust like game because of all of the extra material that's packed into it, where I could do different side quests and things and still level up that character and probably have a good time.
Yeah. What I wonder now, having played the game just a little bit, is with as many RPG elements as there are. And eventually there will be a Cyberpunk 2077 online. What that actually looks like and what that'll actually end up being, right? Obviously it's getting released a year later. But I wonder how that plays out. I hope it's not like Mass Effect where they just like had versus modes, right? Like I don't want a versus mode on things.
Yeah.
Whether it's like it'll probably be like co-op heisting or stuff like that, which Matt and I both love.
Yeah, and the game leans heavily on aspects of stealth, and there are so many like heist type missions where you're trying to break in somewhere, you're trying to do some sort of gig. I can see co-op gigs and things like that being a thing. I mean, really the beginning storyline kind of lends itself to that when you're working with a partner and stuff and like
with Jackie.
Yeah. And so I think you could easily, I say easily, apparently nothing has been easy with this game. I think that you could logically develop missions that could be done with two people, up the difficulty a little bit, things like that. Yeah, I mean, that could be a thing. Add different types of locations. I don't know. Is there value in the game of like opening your own store or opening your own like booth at the flea market and like trading goods or doing things like that? Like, how robust do they want the game to get? Because really, the game is super story driven. And so.
When co-op comes out, first thing Brennan and I are doing is double teaming Panem. That's funny.
As a transhumanist, but I feel like these characters are out there in real life because I Uber from time to time. Yeah.
You're not wrong about that. Uber Eats, Grubhub, you know, neighborhood. Is that neighborhood something? I don't know.
Uber neighborhood? What?
Yeah, there's a I forget what the Postmates. Yeah. I have Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm craving them. I'm craving it. Okay. I think I you know I don't really have anything else to say other than Matt and I bought we've been playing Civ 6. And there's so much time that we put into the Civilization series, him and I, between on the Xbox One, and we bought the expansion. I forget what it's called, like the Coming Storm or something like that. And what it does is it adds like climate change and natural disasters and stuff like that to the Civilization, and also like a World Congress and all that type of stuff. And it's so fun. Him and I this last week, Monday through Wednesday, we started a new game and we were playing it. And it's like, oh no, Sunday. We started Sunday, and every day we're like, okay, one more turn. I gotta go to bed. Gotta go to work in the morning. Okay, well maybe like just like two more turns. I gotta set my like Shaka is after me, so I want to make sure I start the war. And I'm defended before I go to bed. And then he does the two turns. And then I'm like, okay, can we just like do like two more turns? I want to make sure I finish this wonder. and then, you know, it's by that point in time, it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours past our bedtime. And then the very next morning, since we talk, we say oh to each other every morning, like, let's not do that again. And then we do it again.
And then you repeat the process the next day, right?
Yes. Yeah. Every day. And last night, we haven't played the last two nights, but last night I went to bed a little bit early and I woke up today exhausted. And I just don't understand that. I don't understand how I can go to bed to get extra sleep and I'm so much worse for wear.
It's your...
Why is it, Travis?
Circadian rhythm or something? I don't know.
I don't know.
Lucid dreaming. Have you lucid dreamed? Can you lucid dream?
I'm not an expert at it. I'm not even amateur at it. I am fascinated by the concept of lucid dreaming, but I've never really been able to do it. So I there have been a couple times where I've like realized I'm dreaming, but I've never like been a fully lucid dreamer. No.
Okay.
It's all something right. I thought about practicing, but I just got busy.
I don't remember the concept or sorry, the context from why I started thinking about that this last week, but I woke up in the morning on maybe like Wednesday, Thursday, and I woke up thinking about lucid dreaming. And for some reason, I looked it up right away. I don't know. There's a story behind it. But one of the things I saw in like my days was that in order to lucid dream, like there's a method of like waking up and then going back to sleep, like waking up like for a couple minutes and going back to sleep for a while. And that is makes it more likely for you to lucid dream because like slipping back into REM so quickly from that like helps dream more or something like that. And then another like part of that is you question whether or not you're awake all day, like in your waking hours.
Yeah, yeah. You're like constantly asking yourself,
"Am I awake
or not?" You're dreaming. Am I dreaming right now? Yeah, because if you do that and that becomes a natural thing for you to do during your waking days, then the odds of you thinking about that notion while you're dreaming are more likely. And then if you actually are dreaming when you do it, then you might be able to realize you're dreaming and then shift into a lucid state.
I think that's why all my nightmares in the last year have turned into non-nightmares, because I'm like, well, this shit can't be real. Vampires aren't real. Obviously, I know vampires aren't real. If they're not real, then I can do anything, which is why when the zombies were chasing after me in the mall in one of my dreams.
It's fascinating to me that you have nightmares with actual monsters in them.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time I had a nightmare, but I don't watch a fraction of the horror movies that you do. So
true that. But the zombies were chasing after me out of the mall. I got behind a fence and I was taking care of Chelsea and my son. And then I was like, I know what to do. When I realized it was a dream and I couldn't, like, I was fighting it, I lifted up in the air and I started singing Jock Jams 96. and then all the zombie monsters started dancing with it. And I started floating. It was like, pump up the jam, pump it up. and there was like,
That is incredible. That is awesome. I feel like I hardly even remember dreaming a lot of the time, unfortunately. So I don't know. Maybe it's too much caffeine or something. I don't know, maybe
that's a part of it too. I make an effort whenever I dream now to like wake up and think about it and then try to repeat it. So I know that it's a thing. And maybe like train myself to remember things. And if I remember dreams, then I know what they feel like. And then I'm more likely to experience. I'm going to really work on lucid dreaming.
All right. Well, we'll have to have a much more in-depth conversation about dreaming and lucid dreamings, in a future episode. But for now, if you're on the audio version of the podcast, this is where we leave you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for downloading. We love you. You're amazing. If you are watching live on Twitch, then we are headed into our Twitch-only post show. If you want to catch the second part of the show, you can only catch it live on Twitch. So that means follow us on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm or follow us on our social media at apthusiast to know when we go live, because nights like tonight, it's not Monday. This is a special stream, right? But you can usually catch us Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. So we're going to go do that. We're gonna go do our post show. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're on YouTube, you know, hit that subscribe button, hit bells, thumbs up, all that crap. all right. Thank you guys so much. I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon. And thank you for listening to us, Babylon. See you in your dreams, motherfucker.
30,000 inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.